today, we designated this like somewhat as a family meeting day, but not so much a family meeting day as much as our day to update, to intentionally give in the area of the embassy, our new location. Hallelujah. I have some information and things that I want to share and update you on to help you recognize how incredibly awesome it is that God is moving the way that he's moving.
Hallelujah.
Yes. It's incredible.
Yes.
It's incredible. But I also want to say to you that he wants to establish a place in you. Say me.
Me.
Come on, say me.
Me.
Yeah. He wants, listen, as I've been praying about this season, I told our leaders on Thursday, I said the shift and transformation that's taking place inside of me is overwhelming. Because I'm moving into a place that I've always envisioned. With the transformation taking on the inside, taking place on the inside to produce the results on the outside. So I want to say this to all of us, because we can be a part of a church body. We can be part of a group of individuals. And within that group, we can see things happening and God is moving and God is blessing. But it doesn't seem to be happening for us. Anybody ever felt you were in that space? It just didn't seem to be working for you. And I found myself over the weekend and the end of last week just thinking about, okay, so what do you do when you're hearing it, but it doesn't seem to add up? It just doesn't seem to add up. And I found myself being drawn into this thought. If it doesn't add up, then you may need to see if it lines up. If things aren't adding up, then we got to ask ourselves, well, maybe it's because things aren't lining up. Because we all sit under various teachers, most of us, and we hear words. But how many of you know there's the corresponding actions that come with the words of faith? Eric, you can keep playing if you'd like. Y'all good? You need to sit down?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. If you need to sit down, go get a chair. No, I'm just joking. Come on down. I'm going to keep us moving because one thing, it feels cold in here to me. Is it cold to you all?
Yes.
Okay. It's probably because they haven't turned on the heat yet. You're going to leave that right where it's at. And our lights are a little dimmer than they normally are, too. So I need to engage you so you don't fall asleep. How you doing, Sheila? I'm just messing with you. Hallelujah. Hey, son, can you guys bring this on the floor? I just want to get a little closer. I feel like I need gloves right about now. That's not a good sign. Hallelujah. So we're going to do like Jesus said to Judas. What thou doest, do quickly. Hey, Nate, how you doing? Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are in an amazing, amazing, amazing place right now. I want to say to all of us as we're navigating through this place, and I, as the leader of this house, certainly as the under-shepherd, because the Lord is our shepherd. You know, sometimes it's easy to look around and you just kind of wonder what's going on. I want to say a couple things to you about what you may see or what you may think you see. I want you to recognize that, yes, I need some hot coffee so I can pour it on my hands. Understand that there are seasons in every ministry. There are seasons of our lives where we go through what's called a pruning process. Everybody say pruning process. That pruning process is one where the gardener, okay, I was just joking. Where the gardener, what the? The tips are what gets coldest the fastest. Oh, I'm sorry. Was it? Okay. Now, that wasn't a cup of water, so you don't get a prophet's reward, but you'll get something. So I want you to recognize this. Sometimes, you know, it's good just to have some information, some clarity around, okay, so where are we at? What are we doing? There's a couple of dynamics that are going on for us right now. One, we are in the biggest push, the biggest press that our ministry has ever been in. Okay? We are in the biggest push, the biggest press that our ministry has ever been in. And hear me, because it's not just about us. It's about the souls that weigh into balance. Do you hear me? Okay? It's about the souls that weigh into balance. It's about purpose and destiny being fulfilled. That's less about you and more about the people who will be impacted by what God does through you. Are you hearing me? Okay, I need y'all just to work with me. I'm going to get you out of here on time. Not quite, but I'm going to get you out of here soon. But I need to share some things, and then we're going to have a special time of giving this morning. But one of the things that I want to say to you is we're in this season of the biggest push into the reality of what God intended for Heirs Covenant Church to be. Okay? That's where we're at right now. And anytime you are in a season of advancing the kingdom, you will always have opposition. You will always have opposition. I need to remind you that opposition is not just as a house. It is more particularly personal, meaning in your life, there are things that you will deal with financially, physically, okay, relationally. Maybe things on your job. There'll be a number of kind of dynamics that come into play. And if you're not aware of why it is you're having to press through the way you are, it's easy for you to give up. I'm saying to you this morning, stay the course. You got to stay the course, okay? You have to realize that even as you are pressing, there's something that's going to press against you. It's the enemy, okay? It's the devil. All right. And so as you and I get excited about the things of God, and even as we said this morning, I believe the word, I receive the word. You have to know that the enemy hears you say that, and he's going to try to resist every word that you tried to grab a hold of in the midst of our worship and the prophetic flow today. Okay. The other thing that I would say to you is that it's in times like these, it's not unlike in any other church setting of transitions, that there are people will make decisions because it's just part of our nature to go a certain way a certain amount of time, and things can be, I love y'all, thank you, and things can be going one way and you think they're going one way, but then they change. And often when things change, then people have to make a decision. Am I still a part of what's happening now versus what I used to be a part of or what I thought it was going to be? Are you with me? And so you go through those seasons as well. One of the things that Bill Hybel from Willow Creek said, the more clear you make the vision, the more you help people make their decisions. Okay? The more clear you make the vision, the more clear you help people make their decisions. Because when things are kind of fluid and just kind of, you know, all over the place, everybody and anybody can find a place to fit in that or think they got a place to fit in that. But when you bring it and you begin to fine tune it and bring it into the place of alignment that causes it to be more exact, then you help people to recognize, oh, that's not exactly what I thought it was. Or they'll think, I don't know if I really want to be a part of that. And and I would just say after 20 years of doing this as a senior pastor, you have to get okay with that. Okay? You don't receive it as a personal rejection. You just recognize, hey, things have changed. Things are changing, and they may be changing a different way for you. But I want to say to all of you that are here, I am grateful to God that you are here. I'm telling you right now because you have given of yourselves your commitment, and God is rewarding, and he will reward you for your faithfulness in your part of fulfilling the call of this ministry. That's a good time to clap your hands and just look at the person next to you and say, he's talking about you. Okay? So I want to encourage us around some of those things that are happening. Sometimes when you're endeavoring to do what we are doing, you also have to navigate through the awareness that some folk just get overwhelmed by what they see. They get overwhelmed by the largeness of it. So when we start talking about something like the embassy, it overwhelmed folks when we got here, a lot of folk. But now we're talking about a place of ownership, okay? Ownership. Say ownership. Okay, give me 1 second. Okay, I need to make sure that we're not broadcasting out. No. So when you start talking about ownership, how many of you know that with ownership comes greater responsibility? How many of you know that? With ownership comes greater responsibility. So you can live in an apartment, and it can be a very nice apartment, a very nice townhouse, a very nice condominium. Certain things are done for you by the complex. You decide you want to move to a nice house. You move to that house. Most houses have grass, some kind of yard, those kind of things. And how many of you know that when you make that move, you're going to have to be more responsible about taking care of those things or getting someone to take care of those things? Okay, all those things come into play. Can I tell you this? One of the things that impacts a lot of people about fulfilling their call, the call on their life, and moving into new places of purpose and destiny is that they do not want to take on the responsibility that comes with it. They do not want to take on or move to the next level of disciplines that come with it. So what happens is they either decide they don't want to do it, or their lack of discipline or their unwillingness to be responsible cancels it out. It disqualifies them over time. Okay, so for some people, they say, man, this is huge. This is large. This is a whole lot of responsibility. It's not unlike, stay with me on this, it's not unlike when the 12 spies went in to look at the land, okay? Remember when they came back, what they said, what the 10 said about the land? Really what they were talking about is responsibility. Okay, that's what they were talking about. They were talking about stepping up, taking responsibility, because God had already given them a word, okay? God has already given them the word. I've given you the land. You're going to go in there. You're going to deal with the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Hivites and all those ites that are in the land. But God makes it clear, but I've already given you the land. Okay? So somewhere there needs to be the connection of, okay, if he's already given it to us and this stuff is in the land, then we're going to deal with the stuff that's in the land because the land is ours. Do you hear me? It's not unlike, how many of you deal in real estate? I know, Marsha, you do. How many of you deal in real estate, though, where you might buy a property and they call it flipping properties? How many? Some of you know what I'm talking about. So one of the things about those who do that kind of thing, they have the ability to see the end goal of that piece of property. So they may go in and windows are cracked, need paint, the yard's just a mess, okay? But they go in with the vision of what it can look like on the other side. On the front end, though, they have to be willing to assume the responsibility to get it to that place, knowing that on the other side of it, it's going to be fruit, going to be money. There's going to be a return on investment. For some people, though, they can't see that. They don't see that well. So those aren't the people you want coming to look at the property with you. Okay? Now, this is just real. Those aren't the people you want to come look at the property with you, because all they're going to think about is all the work it's going to take to get this where it needs to be. So the people that were there, the 10 spies were focused on the giants that were in the land, forgot all about the grapes, forgot all about the fruit. We got a saying here, keep your eyes on the grapes. Keep your eyes on the grapes. Keep your eyes on the amazing. Okay? You got to keep your eyes on the right thing. I'm saying to us as a house today, we got to keep our eyes on the right thing. Okay? We got to keep our eyes on the right thing. Now, I'm not saying anything to you that the Holy Spirit isn't saying to me every day. Keep your eyes on the right thing. Okay? This is the hugest move I've ever made in the history of my life walking in God. I'm believing for $1.4 million. Anybody else believing with me? Come on, anybody else believing with me? Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah. We're believing for $1.4 million. I just happen to live in the space, even though I've never really had that kind of money in my hands yet, but I just happen to live in the space where that's not a lot of money. In light of who owns everything, and that's my daddy. Come on, stay with me now. Okay, so here's what happens, though, so we can get overwhelmed in it, okay? So the 10, they're overwhelmed by this. Only two of them held on to what God said, kept their eyes on the grapes, and said, we can do this. Now, when you start to move in this kind of process, you only have so much time to get everybody on board, okay? There was a small window of time for the children of Israel to get on board. And you'll remember how that went, okay? That they all got upset because they thought they were tricked by God. And then they said, you know, look, we were doing better where we were. And I want to tell you, if any of you in this room think we're better here than where we're about to go, see me right after service because I need to really help you, okay? If you think going back to where we came from is better than moving forward, see me right after service because I need to talk to you. See, in God, there's never going back. There's never going back. It's always moving forward. But there was a mindset in the amongst of those people who believed the negative report because it was so overwhelming that we need to go back. We need to get our own leader, and we need to head on back to Egypt. At least we have something to eat, and, you know, okay? Now, what are they trying to navigate through right there? The place of transition that they're in, okay? The uncertainty that they're dealing with, because now they're out here, and they're faced with something that's it seems larger. So in our human nature, wanting to make uncertain things certain, and as best possible, control our own destiny, we'd rather go back somewhere than to keep pressing into the unknown and trusting God. So there was this time frame for them to work within. That time frame didn't last very long. They slept on it. Woke up the next day, said, oh, you know what? We need to go ahead and give this a try. Because you can't dictate to God the time frame. Let me say it again. You can't dictate to God the time frame. It's his time frame. Everything you and I do, everything that comes about, Wilma, we align with him. We align with him. That's why I want to encourage some of you to say you've been praying and believing. It hadn't happened yet. Then just hold on. It's just not in his time frame. It's just not in his time frame, but it's happening. It's happening. It's happening. It's happening. It's happening. It's just not the manifestation of it. It's just not in his time frame. So when they got up and they tried to go out and face one of the nations, they were defeated. Then they really got upset and said, And then they began to blame God, and they said, you know, our children are going to die out here, and da-da-da-da. And that's when God said, okay, we're done. We're done. You know, that's not a good sign when God says we're done. On most things, it's not a good sign. But in that case, he said, we're done. And what he was saying is, I got you out of Egypt. I brought you out wealthy. I brought you out with stuff. And you get out here, I tell you, the land is yours. I told you I'm going to give you the land. We're going to defeat the enemy. And the thing with God that's a part for us today around this whole season of giving and pressing into purpose and destiny is this. God is always looking for a partner. God is always looking for those who will partner with him. He's always looking for those who will say, I want to be a part of it. And he says, come on. That's what he said to us. Come on. Come on. Don't worry about it. I know you don't really understand some of this. Just keep looking at me. Right here. Just keep looking at me. Just keep looking at me. Come on. Just come on. Come on. Come on. Just come on. Yeah, come on. Just keep looking at me. Keep looking at me. So God didn't say to them, listen, he didn't say to them, I'm going to go in and clear out everything for you. He says, no, you're going to go in. We're going to go in together. And together, we're going to dispossess the land. We're going to take out every giant. We're going to take out every nation. And you're going to take over the land. It's already yours. Now, that principle, you can track all the way through the scriptures. When God created Adam, he didn't create Adam because he was lonely. He created Adam because he wanted somebody on the earth to represent his interests in the earth. That's why he said to Adam, hey, we're going to work together on this. You name the animals. Whatever you call them, that's what they are. What's he doing? He's inviting a partner into it. He could have walked around with Adam. Adam, that's an elephant. That's a giraffe. That's a donkey. That's a bird. These are fish. He didn't do that. He said, you name them. And what God is doing with us, heirs, is he's inviting us into this moment yet again to say, I want you to partner with me now. I want you to partner with me now to fulfill prayers that have been prayed for generations that a city would be transformed. I sat in Pastor Josh Willis's office on Friday just chatting. He has so had a heart for Hamilton. He went out and had those little decorative kind of things that go around your license plate, you know? And he had a lot of them made up. And the top of it says Hamilton, and across the bottom it says the city of God. He said, I had these made up, just passing them out to people. Please put this on your car. Hamilton, the city of God. The city of God. And in part, what's been our journey is God raising us up, God working in us to bring us to a place of responsibility and disciplines to steward our part of transforming Hamilton and this region. And so many of you have been with us for years, and you have labored, you have toiled, and together we've been able to establish a level of consistency in what we do that positions us to be able to be consistent and disciplined and responsible as we move forward. God is always looking for partners. He's always looking for a man. He's always looking for a people. He's always looking for a man. He's always looking for a people. He's always looking for a woman. He's always looking for a people. So all I'm saying to you, this is not notes, y'all. I'm just talking to you, okay? What I had wrote down, I guess that's for another time. But in this experiencing of him today, I'm wanting us to recognize the preparation that's taking place inwardly, even while he is working outwardly, okay? Everything that Jesus did, he did it out of a place of pulling individuals into his space to experience the kingdom so they could then live it out for themselves. So when he brought the 12 together, he said, you go out and you heal the sick and you minister to everyone you come in contact with and you tell them the kingdom of God is here. He did the same thing with the 70. It was all about, I'm empowering you now to represent the kingdom. He has empowered you. I'm talking to you now. He has empowered you to represent the kingdom. He has empowered us to represent his kingdom, to make his kingdom our reality in the earth. I want to tell you this, though. To the degree that that is the reality in your life, it's the same degree that it will become a reality in the lives of others that you touch. Let me say that one more time. To the degree that that becomes a reality in your life is to the same degree that it will become a reality in the lives of those that you touch. And so you, going back to a statement I said a moment ago. So you got to ask yourself, okay, if it's not adding up, is it lining up? Maybe it's not adding up because you're not lined up. The scripture talks about righteousness and right standing. That's what I'm talking about, lined up. I'm talking about lined up in your conversation, lined up in your thoughts, lined up in your relationships, lined up in your actions, lined up in every area. Because when it's lined up, it will add up. When it's lined up, it adds up. So what Jesus was doing, he was bringing everyone he could into that reality of the kingdom. And he did it by joint participation. That's why when he fed the 4,000 to 5,000, he did it with joint participation. He didn't just call down manna from heaven like in the Old Testament. He demonstrated something before everybody's eyes and he said, now you're going to participate. You're going to feed them. Because for everyone who participated, it produced something, an awareness in them that they did not have before concerning the kingdom of God. And that is, I just participated in something that seemed to be impossible. My life will never be the same again. I just participated in something that seemed to be beyond my reach. Because remember, they were saying to Jesus, look, it's getting late. We ain't got a lot of food. They ain't got no food. We need to send them on home. He said, no, that's not what we're going to do here. What do we have? Well, there's a kid over there with two fish and five loaves of bread. Well, we'll bring him up here. Brings him up. Jesus says, start telling people, sit down. Come on, say faith in action. Come on, say faith in action. Now, every disciple who was with Jesus internally was working this in their head. What is he doing? What is he doing? Man, this don't make sense. Is this going to work? What is he doing? What is he doing? What's Apostle John doing? Is this going to work? It's just the reality, and it's the nature of people. I get that. But for every one of us, listen to me now, for every one of us, George, we have to come to a place where we're just as sure as Jesus was when he told them to tell those people to sit down, believing that once he prayed, his daddy was going to do something. You good? Even while he knew his followers were trying to process this. Now, we only told him, we ain't got much to eat ourselves, and this kid only got two fish and five loaves of bread. He wants us to have him sit down in groups of 50s and 100s. What's going on here? And the reason why they had to navigate through that, because they had yet to experience what they were about to experience. But once they experienced it, and let me tell you something, once you and I walk through this season and get on the other side of it, my prayer is that you will never be the same again, because I'm telling you, I'm already transformed. I've already shifted. But the word that I received is that God was going to use me to raise up an army, one of the largest armies in this area. You're a part of it. You're a part of it, Sandra. That's why you're here. That's why you're still alive with a new heart and everything else. Yeah. Sheila, you a part of it. You kind of laugh. You a part of it. Now, see that, that was a disciple look right there. That was like the disciples right there. Like, what? Is he talking to me? Hey, you a part of it. Yeah, thank you. You a part of it. 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 They're processing through. Wait a minute. Now he said, okay. Hey, would you mind sitting down? I know it sounds funny, but we're going to have some food for you. And just sit right there. I ain't coming back that way again. Yeah. Why? Because listen to me. Thank you, Lord. See, sometimes when you're challenged by the opportunity and it doesn't make sense to you, you'll just avoid it. You'll stop coming. I'm looking around and I'm not seeing some folk. I'm saying, okay, don't get scared. I know it's bigger than you think it is. It is big. It's bigger than all of us. But I love how God works. I love how God works. I love how God works. God says, I don't need a lot of folk. I just need the right folk. He chose 12, not 50, not 1,200. I just need 12, and one of them's going to be out of here in a minute, so it's really 11 that's going to get this thing going until Paul shows up. It wasn't the one that the 11 voted in. You don't even hear about him after he got voted in. What is it, Bartholomew? What was his name? Matthias, yeah. Matthias, you only heard of him one time when they said they selected Matthias. No, who was it? It was Paul. It's Paul. See, because I want us to understand this. Listen. Because if we don't do it, you better believe God's got somebody. Let it be us. It's destined to be us. It's destined to be you. It's destined to be you. So what Jesus was doing with them, he was walking them through the processes, recognizing, I know they're struggling with this, but at least they're acting on what I said. Then on the backside of it, they see what happened. Not only did it happen once, it happened twice. On one occasion, at the end of the deal, they had 7 baskets full. On the end of the other occasion, they had 12 baskets full. But somewhere in that, They still were not connecting it to themselves. And this morning, I need to connect this to you, that you are a major part of this next move. All that we're sowing, God is about to bless you for your faith and your faithfulness in this moment. Because God wants to prove himself to you. Come on, say to me. Come on, anybody tired of hearing everybody else's testimony? Come on, be honest. If I hear one more testimony about somebody getting a check in the mail and I ain't getting any, I don't know. That's just an example. Come on. Y'all know what I'm saying. I love all my brothers and sisters out there that are in what we would call that Word of Faith camp. I love all of them. I listen to their messages. But I ain't trying to hear a lot of stuff right now. No. I want to walk in it myself. Okay, I appreciate your story. I appreciate your testimony. Okay, but that's where we're at right now. That's where you're at right now. That's where many of you are at right now. God, I thank you for your goodness, but I need some things as part of my testimony that are as large as some of the things I hear with others. In order to arrive in that place, though, you've got to live at a higher place of consciousness and awareness of God moving in your life so that when it happens, you don't discount it, you don't minimize it, and you certainly don't miss it altogether. Most believers live out of a space, not most believers, I'm talking about many believers live out of a space of just need being met. Just need being met. And we thank God for that, and we should thank God for that. But Jesus didn't die for just your need to be met. He didn't die for just our need to be met. Jesus showed up and rolled out the carpet of what the kingdom could do. He's feeding thousands of people with just a handful of stuff. He's showing them that there are unlimited possibilities in me. He's demonstrating that I will meet you right where you're at. So when Peter was in that boat, looks out, sees this thing out there, says, Lord, if it's you, don't know if it's him or not, but if it's you, bid me come. All of a sudden now, Jesus is recognizing, I got a guy who's crazy. I got a guy who's just crazy enough to think that it could be me. And if it could be me, he wants to come out here. Okay? And Jesus said, come. And we know how God used Peter all of the rest of his life. Because what God is looking for in the hearts of people, you and I, is this place that says, God, if it's you, let me come. If it's you, let me be a part of it. The problem that the disciples had to navigate through, one of the challenges is that as things were happening, as things were unfolding, they did not have the awareness, Kevin, of being able to journal it, put it away somewhere in the spirit, man, somewhere in their mind that says, God did this for me. God did this through me. God did this for me. God did this through me. Because you see, if you can get into that kind of habit about God did this for me, God did this through me, God did this for me, God did this through me, what it does, it begins to build up something on the inside of you that causes you to have this expectation, a large expectation, that if God did this for me, and he did this through me, and then later on in life he did this for me, and then he did this through me, and you have this internal journal, this internal a memory bank to be able to dial those things up. Anytime you find yourself in a situation that looks similar or not, you can go back in and dial that thing up. He did this for me, and this through me, and he did this for me, and he did this. Then all of a sudden, what you now are looking at, you're able to see it in light of the God that you come to know in an incredible way. That's why Jesus was dealing with them the way that he was when they were in the boat talking about, we ain't got much bread. He said, you've lost your minds. You're the same ones that were with me. You helped me feed the 4,000. You helped me feed the 5,000. You saw what we had to work with. So he says, you have eyes to see, but you don't see. You have ears to hear, but you don't hear. Let it not be so with us. Let it not be so with you. Where is your testimony? How large is your testimony? How many do you have? That moves you into this space and this place that says nothing is too hard for God. Nothing. Nothing is too hard for God. 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 Nothing. So things are shifting in our house. I'm talking about here at Ayers. And it's not ministry as usual, because God is preparing us for this next assignment. And everything you've gone through personally adds up to what we have to offer corporately. Your experience matters. Your journey matters. Because there are people who are in need of you. There are people in need of you. There are people in need of you. I'm going to say that just a few more times. There's someone in need of you. There was a season when Paul and John Mark didn't get along well. And there was a separation. But then there came a time when Paul says, tell John, I have need of him. Sheila, the Lord has need of you. has need of you. He has need of the Sheila that's here today. Not the one you want to be, the one you hope to be. He has need of Sheila right now. You receive it? Yeah. 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 Everything that God does, He does it out of a place of His fulfilled word, meaning that it's already been spoken. It's already been scripted. We simply need to know our part and walk that out. As I've been praying about this season for our house and this season of our giving and pressing into this new location, one of the things that I have been praying is that God would make this so real for you, recognizing that as heirs advances, you are advancing personally. That this is a season of incredible breakthrough, breaking out, moving forward in your life personally. In a moment, I want to lead us in our time of giving. But I want to share a few things with you to help you recognize how God is moving. Over the last 2 weeks, God has opened the door for us. And this is great, but I'm warm now. So we're going to put that right. We're going to turn it that way. Okay. There you go. I think it's oscillating, so it should. Now, let it oscillate, because I know Arnett, she's freezing, too. Okay, y'all still with me? All right, okay, just give me about 15 more minutes or so, if thus says the Lord. And then we're going to get out of here. But I need to share a few things with you. God is doing incredible, incredible things. Within the last couple of weeks, we've been talking with a few different banks. But God has led us to one particular bank that God's given us favor with. Amen. And George, thank God for George, who's our CFO, and our board members, been working diligently to provide all the information that's needed. I want to tell you, as of Friday, the banker said that everything is looking good. He just needs some additional information from us, some more detailed information. He said, but once I have that information, I think that I'm going to be able to put everything together and we should be able to push this thing through. Come on, y'all. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. And at a later time, we'll share more of those details as we're wrapping it up, because it's good for you to know what we are committing to in a little more detailed way. But just letting you know that God is moving in bringing this together. I'm not sure if I shared in one of our previous gathering how that. We had met with our bank that we bank with, and as we met with that bank, we realized that the guidelines were so strict that we weren't sure that we'd be able to get done what we needed to do in what we believed to be the time frame. And so the wonderful thing about God and about relationships is God has a way of just connecting you with the right people at the right time. And so Jenny, who happens to be the branch manager and one that we've banked with, the existence of our church, but we bank with personally as well, and Jenny's a believer. Well, Jenny sat in on that meeting. And when the meeting was over, we left, Pastor Josh and I, and we both felt like, okay, well, we don't know if that's going to work with them or not. And I'm out driving my car, running some errands. Jenny sees me. She pulls up her car next to mine, jumps out the car, and says, I'm going to give you the name to another bank that I think will be able to help service your loan. Now, she's a branch manager of a bank, okay? And the name that she gave me, the bank she gave me, is the one that we're talking with right now. And God has positioned us. The gentleman that we're talking with is the chief lending officer. He's a senior vice president. His father started the bank, okay? And so it's the kind of setting where you can walk in and sit down, you talking to the person, the decision-making person, right then. And so God is working that out for us. Again, I want to thank God for George because he has worked diligently even while healing from having his back surgery. And George is doing good. George, stand up and do some jumping jacks for us. Let everybody know you. And I so appreciate what God is doing in him and through him, so that we've been able to get the information together. What we presented to the bank helps them to know that we can handle this kind of property and this kind of assignment. Amen. And so that's in the works. Now, with that being in the works comes the issue of our raising our down payment. Okay. And so that's what we want to do today. We want to sow into that over and above our regular giving this morning. So we're going to give twice. Okay. And I'm going to tell you why in just a moment. But I want to read this passage of scripture that I've been meditating on, familiar passage of scripture, for all of us. It's out of 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 15. I just want to focus on this thought, giving a matter of the heart. Giving is a matter of the heart. Giving is a matter of the heart. I want you to recognize that when it comes to giving to God, God is always looking at the heart. Okay, he's always looking at the heart. So you remember on last week as I shared about how God provided the resources that would be needed, but spoke of them 430 years before they received them. He told Abraham, your people will be in captivity for 400 years. When they come out, they're going to come out and they're going to have possessions with them. So 430 years later, they come out. When they come out, it says that they came out with possessions. They came out with possessions, though, because they followed the word of the Lord, which Moses had given them, to ask for the stuff. To ask. Okay? Courage to ask. See, part of this season is about not only what you believe for, but there may be other people that God's already moved on their heart. You just don't know it till you ask them. Okay? You just don't know till you ask. So there needs to be the courage to ask. And Pastor Marisa came up last week and shared how that while I was sharing that, she was texting people and asking them, and they're responding already. See, it all adds up. Say it all adds up. That's why we are emphasizing equal sacrifice rather than equal giving. It all adds up. And so here in 2 Corinthians 9, it says this, now I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. That's why when we go back to Exodus, and you will see in those passages of scripture, when God speaks to Moses and says, go to the people and tell them to bring these things, this is what it says. It says, this in Exodus 35, 4 through 9. It says, take from among you contribution to the Lord, whoever is of a willing heart. Whoever is of a willing heart. See, The thing that you see in that is God says, I want you to have the people respond, but it's got to be a heart issue. It can't be out of compulsion or being forced to do it. But God, it's in my heart to do it. It's in my heart to be a part of what you're doing. And the moment you have that kind of heart, let me tell you, and I'm going to read it to you. The moment you have that type of heart, God says, I'm going to make sure you can do it. I'm going to make sure you can participate. It goes on and says here in 2 Corinthians, it says, each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And then it says this, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that, always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. I love that. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that, always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattereth abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. And then it says this, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of the service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. That same passage in the Message Bible reads like this. Remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and make up your own mind what you will give. That will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. God loves it when the giver delights in giving. God can pour on the blessings in astonishing ways so that you're ready for everything, for anything and everything. More than just ready to do what needs to be done. Jesus made it clear in talking to the disciples and to the people in Matthew 6 about needs being met. And then in 6:33, he says this, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all else or everything else will be added unto you. Just simply meaning that as you focus on him, as you focus on the kingdom, as you focus on being rightly aligned, everything comes together. Everything aligns itself. Here at Ayers, we have faithful givers. We have faithful tithers. And I honor God for that. I want to tell you the level of giving we're doing now as it relates to this embassy is over and beyond that. And the blessings of it are exponentially greater than what you may be walking in right now. And that's why my encouragement is that we all participate on whatever level our faith will allow us. My attempt is to grow your faith and to push you into higher levels and places in order to experience the greater things that God has in store.